What association should free grace people have with lordship salvation people? What a unique and interesting question. That's the question we're going to answer on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this great show. Thank you for joining us. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got questions, we'd love to try to answer them. You can send those in by email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's jump right into today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show. My name's Sean.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob.
We're so glad to be here with you again, answering your questions, discussing the Bible and theology. We keep on hearing from people all around the world who say that they listen to us every day, and that just blows me away because I'm going to attribute that to the attraction of the Word of God. You know, just being able to discuss the nitty-gritty, thorny passages in the Word of God.
Right.
To me, this is exciting. I love discussing God's Word. I love discussing His revelation.
Yeah, I do too.
And even though I don't always have the answer, most of the time I don't have the answer.
Well, I always tell people I can answer any Bible question because I can always say, I don't know.
Well, we're trying to take the questions where we can at least give something of an answer. For example, here's a question from Matt. He's a recent seminary grad, and he plans on entering pastoral ministry. And he just asks, what level of association should free grace pastors have with lordship salvation pastors that belong to the same denomination? So first of all, let's just parse out what free grace and lordship salvation means.
Okay, well, free grace, it depends on who you're talking to. There are different views of what free grace is, but pretty much everybody in free grace circles would say that a person is born again by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ apart from works before you're born again, at the time you're born again, or even after.
Right.
And pretty much everybody in free grace circles will say that failure is possible in the Christian life.
Right. You don't need works to have eternal life, to keep eternal life, or
right,
to prove that you have eternal life.
Right. So theoretically, a person could come to faith in Christ and very quickly fall away from the faith and stay that way until they die.
Right.
And if that were the case, the person would still be born again, even though they were only a believer for a short period of time.
Still eternally secure.
Still eternally secure.
They were given eternal life at that moment of faith, and eternal life is eternal.
Now, we might not know it because we may not know that they came to faith and then later fell away.
Right.
But the truth is, if anybody has ever come to faith, free grace people say, well, then they're born again. The lordship salvation position is saying something quite different.
Right. So lordship salvation guys would say you can't have Jesus as your savior unless you have him as Lord of your behavior.
Right.
You know, your behavior, even though they'll say we believe in justification by faith apart from works, they'll usually say in order to have a living faith, a saving faith, you need a faith that works, that behaves, that commits, that exhibits some level of moral change in your life in order to be saved.
Yeah, and one way I like to remember lordship salvation is the word cop. C-O-P, like a policeman.
Okay.
Commitment. You've got to commit or submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Obedience. That commitment must be followed by obedience. And P, perseverance. That commitment and obedience must persevere until death. You
right,
may have temporary times of minor failure,
right,
but you're always going to come back and you're always going to end your life in victory because all Christians are victorious.
Right. So we would say the lordship salvation position is basically it's a work salvation scheme.
It really is.
And so we reject work salvation. We believe
even though grace. Almost all lordship salvation people say, we reject work salvation.
Yeah, they'll say that, and then they'll go around and say, if you're not obeying, you're not really believing. So I don't know what your church, maybe your church is like that. Have you heard that kind of thing from your pastor? Well, so Matt is asking, so what level of fellowship should free grace pastors have with lordship salvation pastors?
This is a very practical question.
Well, let's say you're in the Southern Baptist Convention, or you are in the Independent Fellowship of Fundamental
IFCA,
Churches.
Or E-Free Churches,
or
because
E-Free.
A lot of Free Grace people are within the E-Free Churches, but
right.
yet not everybody in E-Free Churches is Free Grace.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. And the same thing is true with those other, like IFCA or Southern Baptist. You're going to have Free Grace people, but you're going to have many who aren't.
I'll tell you what my position is. I've been looking at the biblical doctrine of separation, and which is a fundamentalist thing. It's not really an evangelical thing. It's almost like the evangelicals were kind of responding against the fundamentalists. But I feel convicted that there is a biblical teaching about separation. But what I found is, so far, is the Bible's not really concerned about separating over all kinds of theological issues. There's very few theological issues that the Bible says we should separate over. It's mostly behavior.
Right.
But it seems to me that if there is any doctrine we should separate over, it's over the saving message. And I'm thinking
right.
about Galatians and Paul calling the Judaizers who believed in Jesus, who knew the apostles, were sent by the apostles, who believed some type of saving message, and what they just wanted to add was faith plus circumcision. And Paul called that beyond the pale, that is accursed. Gospel.
Right.
Now, he does. I don't think he says to separate from those teachers necessarily.
Well, he does, because when he says, let them be accursed,
right.
Galatians 1, 8 and 9, I believe anathema there means treat them as someone who's under God's curse. And so you would separate from accursed people.
That's what I would think, too. It's implied. It's
right.
not explicit.
It's not directly stated, but it's understood.
Implied. And do you think that would apply here to Lordship Salvation teachers?
Well, yes and no. You have in 2 John, you know, you have 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. In Greek, it's Alpha, Beta, Gamma John. I remember it that way because Beta is kind of like our English letter B. And so I remember that 2nd John is about the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Don't support the bad teachers. And
yeah.
John says, don't even invite them into your house.
Yeah.
Don't give them a greeting. And that doesn't mean you can't allow false teachers to come into your house and evangelize them. What it means is you don't put them up.
Right.
That's what these traveling teachers wanted, someone to feed them, house them, and you also don't give them a greeting in the sense that you don't pray God's blessings on them.
Right.
So in that sense, Matt should not go into this denominational group and pray God's blessing on the Lordship Salvation teachers. Nor should he be financially supporting them,
right?
Or supporting them in any way. On the other hand, can he talk with them? For example, I went to the Shepherd's Conference. That's John MacArthur's conference in Grace Community Church back in about 2001. During that time, I shook hands with John MacArthur, I believe. It was a couple months later, I went back out there and met with Phil Johnson. And during that time, MacArthur came by the office and I shook hands with him
mm-hmm.
again. And I wasn't disrespectful to John MacArthur. I was
right.
cordial with him.
Right.
And I don't think there's any reason why he should be snarky, why Matt would be snarky if he's dealing with Lordship Salvation people. Yes, we disagree and we're not supporting them and they know that. But, you know, they don't need to be nasty with me and I don't need to be nasty with them. And even
right.
when I write about what they say, I try very hard to do so in a way that's respectful.
Right.
And maybe sometimes I've crossed the line and people have, you know, especially in the early years, criticized me for being harsh. And so I've tried to tone that rhetoric down.
You've mellowed out.
I hope so.
Well, in some ways.
Yeah.
In some ways. We do try. I mean, people have often said what they like about you is when you're wrong, you'll say, I was wrong.
Yeah, and I've had plenty of
lots of cases of that.
Yeah.
Didn't you write something about how you hate cell phones recently?
And then I had to repent of that. So be watching. There's another blog coming out where I correct what I wrote in the last blog.
But that's what you need to do. You know, we have to stand under the word in order to understand it. And if you stand under the word, you got to be corrected by it.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to this question of fellowshipping with pastors. If you're in a denomination that allows for Lordship Salvation, what would you recommend there?
Well, first off, you have to decide if you want to be in such a denomination.
That's what I'm asking.
Okay. Well,
I would counsel against being in such a denomination.
Yeah, I would, unless you have a situation where the denomination is against Lordship Salvation. So
right.
now the official position of the denomination is against it,
mm-hmm.
but it's tolerating it. Well, that's kind of a little bit different. And this same thing hits in the missions. What if you're in a missionary organization that the basic doctrinal position is a grace position.
Yeah.
But yet they tolerate Lordship Salvation missionaries.
Sure. In fact, they might even tolerate Lordship Salvation leadership.
Right.
You know, it might get higher and higher. The people I've talked to, I don't know if you've had this same experience, but the people I've talked to who are grace people in these mixed denominations, at first they're thankful that they could fly under the radar, but after a while they get burnt out. Being in a mixed denomination is kind of like always swimming against the stream. Eventually it wears people out. I've talked to lots of pastors and missionaries who are like, I'm just worn out trying to always fighting against this work salvation message. And it's just hard to be a grace person in a mixed denomination. So, I mean, I'm a little concerned for Matt because I'm pretty sure that he's going to find that's his experience.
Well, you know, there's a big problem with people who are like, he's just starting out.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was graduating from Dallas Seminary and our professors were telling us, look, your first church, you're going to have to be willing to take a lot less money than you might really want.
Mm-hmm.
You may even have to be bivocational because you need to get experience. And so go out there and take a church and don't be real picky on, I've got to have the big bucks. I think back then they were saying, don't demand you have to have $20,000 a year, which in today's money would probably be like $40,000 or $50,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of guys, they were holding out for more money and they didn't get any jobs.
Right.
And the same thing would be true if you're super picky about, well, it has to be a denomination that is consistent with free grace, which there aren't too many.
Right.
Or I'm going to be in an independent church that's clearly free grace. And again, there are some, but there aren't a ton. So you can understand that a guy, of course, he needs to go in and Matt needs to be honest. This is my views.
Right.
So my first concern would be his own church.
Yes.
Secondarily, his question. And there I would say, be friendly, be cordial, but be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And just, hey, we agree to disagree.
Yeah.
And we realize this is a big issue, but we are both conservative. So we can rejoice in the fact that if we agree the Bible's without error and we agree on creation and we agree on family and, you know, that sort of thing, marriage. We can rejoice in those things, but we're going to also recognize that we disagree on the most important issue.
Well, I hope that answers your question, Matt. If you'd like us to answer one of your questions, send them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about eternal torment, so tune in. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.